Our guest now is a longtime favorite from Joyce to even now, the Moriartys, Jim and Joanne. They, of course, were involved with Libya. They got over there in a business situation, and for whatever reason, maybe the hand of God, maybe fate, maybe whatever you want to call it, they were let in on some very intricate details of what was going on in Libya, and they become such a great source for Americans, but especially a voice for those people there who really have not had one for so long because of corporate media, what have you. The Moriartys, Jim and Joanne, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Daniel. God bless you for having us on again. We, you know, your Power Hour has been our best and strongest supporter forever. And way back there what we were doing in Libya was really business, and we got asked to go in there and head a fact-finding commission. We saw the war crimes and atrocities, but the worst thing was that a CIA operative put us on a kill list, and we were captured by Al-Qaeda, taken to their torture center. We were to be killed and chopped up and burned, and we got out of there with three miracles to get back here to the United States to be attacked by our own government. We've been soft-killed and blacklisted and just everything taken from us, our bank accounts killed, our business stopped, and just a mess. But I'd like to tell you all about today is that when we first came back, we knew we had some interviews that we had done in Libya that were absolutely proof positive of the war crimes and atrocities that were being committed by the U.S., UN, and NATO invasion of that country. And we knew the value of those things. We had hard proof of the media being embedded with the insurgent rebels from day one. And Joyce was a great help to us. And when we talked to her about these videos, and I've got to tell you, they're very graphic. And when we described those to her, she said, "You will never be allowed to put those out, because YouTube, whatever, they will shut you down. They won't allow them to happen." And we told her that these were the videos that the intelligence agencies had been trying to get from us from the day we arrived back in the United States. And we had secreted them off in locations where, you know, they were safe and out of harm's way. And until recently, when you could have a paid audience that could select whether they wanted to watch it or not, we didn't have any opportunity to put those out. And we just started, we started doing that Monday. And there's, you know, several months worth of work. Every Monday night we're going to be putting out another video. We'll discuss it in advance. And Joanne will describe how we're doing that. And we'd really like your Power Hour folks to go to YouTube and watch those. Just a moment.
Hi, Daniel.
Well, why don't you take a little bit and give us a, you know, how can we access this? What has it been like to put this together? And then we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, we met, I don't know if you know him, Jason Goodman. We met him last month, and he was real interested in our story. He has a large Patreon site, Crowdsource the Truth, and he interviews a lot of people. He's interviewed many, many of the big people around right now. But what we did with him is he came to us and we discussed these videos, and he said, "I'd like to do a special show every Monday night and release one of these videos and have you talk about them, why I play pieces of the videos and what they are." So we agreed with him on that, and we started that yesterday. If you go to YouTube, Crowdsource the Truth, Jason Goodman, there's a video that was played last night as an introduction to that Monday night show we're doing. That's on YouTube. The show is on Patreon, and it tells you how to do that. Patreon is a paid site, but it's you can sign up as either a creator or you support patron. Yeah, a patron. That's the word I'm trying to say. And it's anywhere from $1 to $5 to whatever you want to donate every month to watch that site and watch all those videos. And we just opened a Patreon site Sunday. But if you go, like I said, if you go to YouTube, Crowdsource the Truth with Jason Goodman, you'll see it's called Unseen Videos, Libya with James and Joanne Moriarty. And you'll see the introduction, and in the comments it tells you how to log in, how to link in, or whatever you want to do to watch those videos. So it's real exciting for us.
When we first, we sent some of the clips way back there, there's a young man that getting his head chopped off, and then we interviewed his family after that. A lot of things really gruesome, you know. And there was no way that those could be put out. They would be blocked and everything. We finally have a vehicle to get those out. And, you know, it's something that we needed to do. These are the things that they had been attacking us trying to get forever. So we're finally getting them out, and we think it's timely because of all the things that have happened. And in addition to that, we received a brochure, I think it was on Friday, where we, Joanne and I, were listed as supporting a big activity of Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda to put together a public relations deal to try to influence the Libyan people. Absolutely not anything we had anything to do with, didn't agree to it, you know. And they listed us as the most important Americans in Libya, and that probably is true. But, you know, it shows how desperate they are to maintain control of that country after they've destroyed it.
Let me interject here, because your work, I when I look across the landscape, I think people, to some degree, are awake to the idea of what we are told about Libya was not the truth. I think that has been dented. That is in the public consciousness. Maybe not everybody, maybe not the mass of people, but the edge certainly has. You have been, I mean, to say that you are on the forefront of this would be an understatement. You are right in the bullseye of this. And your experience not only with Benghazi, helping to get Benghazi out, the outrage and the understandable just ferocity that surrounded that. You guys were there. You guys talked to these people. You had a relationship with the heads of the different clans, the different tribes, and you brought this news to America. Now it's been several years after this. It almost seems like this information is more important maybe now than ever, because Humpty Dumpty can never get put back together with your information. What's your reaction to that?
Daniel, you're exactly right. You know, there's a lot, you're showing a whole lot of insight, because as we've been saying forever, that what they did in Libya is their Achilles tendon, because it was absolutely an invasion of a sovereign country. The 250,000 CIA, Mossad, MI6 trained mercenaries invaded Libya, armed, maintained, financed, to take over that country. The Libyan people were not involved. They were not a part of that. A very, very tiny percentage, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% of the people weren't happy there. But Libya did not, they never supported radicals. And, you know, they had a very, very thriving economy. It was a clean country, you know. And everything we heard here was exactly the opposite. And what people are saying now is, here's this country that was in great shape. Even the people, the dissenters, are now saying, please return it to the way it was when Gaddafi was here. And the thing that it shows is the hubris of the deep state and the criminals, Obama, Hillary Clinton, etc., that they would have the audacity to invade a foreign country, blow that thing up, just to prevent the African bank from going into full-blown operation. And that's because the gold-backed dinar for Africa would have destroyed the toilet paper bankers, the Federal Reserve, European Central Bank, Japanese Bank, which are you know, controlled, owned by the seven bankster families. And that was the reason Libya was blown up. And people are now understanding, you know, that the phony money that we're all living with is just that. It's toilet paper. It's not money.
Well, let's talk about that point. Just elaborate just clearly a little bit more so people can understand. This is such an important point, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about Gaddafi and what he wanted to do with their dollar. We got about a minute and a half before the break.
Okay. He was required to step down from power according to the treaty that he signed in 2006. He did that. One of his activities after that was to try to get not only Libya but Africa on solid footing by establishing an African bank. They were calling the currency the gold-backed dinar. It had all the Arab countries as members. Half the African countries had signed up as members. All the resources of Africa would have been behind that currency. That would have put the fiat money, the toilet paper bankers, out of business. That's the Federal Reserve, European Central Bank of Japan. They print money without any security or backing at all. They print their phony money. They buy our corporations. They buy our government. And there's nothing but toilet paper. There is no value at all in the fiat currency. And when that starts to crumble, when their fiat money world, their Babylonian debt scheme starts going down, then nobody is going to join hands with them if they're not getting paid. So their mercenaries, their politicians, all that, those go away. So this is happening right now. It's a real important time. And, you know, the African Bank was really a trigger point for that.
Well, what you're saying, so you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, think about if you could just print monopoly money up, and then you could go to a country like Libya and say, oh, you need money for your, you know, aqueducts or whatever, or reservoirs, we'll loan you. Don't worry, we'll loan the money to you. Oh, but just as credit, as the back collateral, we need, you know, some of your oil reserves, or we need some of your gold, or we need to, you see how the control and the power you can have from that, and how that, just the act of Gaddafi saying, no, we are going to take that and we are going to go back it, and our reserves are going to be the collateral for this new money. You see the stability, the power, and the threat that that is to the Federal Reserve System? Huge. Huge. Stay tuned. So much more. So glad to have him. It's been a while. The Moriarty's on the other side, thepowerhour.com. So glad to have the Moriarty's here. LibyanWarTheTruth.com. LibyanWarTheTruth.com. You can support them. They got a lot of videos available. And, of course, the YouTube, you can go to Crowdsource the Truth. And you can see these videos are very important. We're probably understating them. Not probably. I think we are. They are proof. When anybody, not just Libya, when anybody says, what do you mean the government's doing this? What do you mean they're lying? What do you mean CNN lies to me or Fox or MSNBC? What do you mean? Okay, I'll show you. Here, do you have the guts to sit through these people and see what they did here in Libya and see the real truth and what's going on the ground, and you juxtapose that, what you've been told and what's been going on? This is what we're talking about. This is the deep state at work. This is the control grid that we are talking about. This is everything that Donald Trump's election is representative for so many people. We want to stop this. The truth will rule out, but we got to know the truth. That's why these people are so important. Besides their courage and everything, they're such heroes. But we'll get more to this a little later in the interview. This is a short segment. I'm just going to ask a direct question, but an important one. Jim and Joanne, the Syrian withdrawal, Trump said, hey, we're going to withdraw. It started. The deep state tried to say, no, you know, where is it now? What is Libya? What does a country like Libya think about this? What is going on with the Syrian withdrawal?
Well, you know, we have friends in Syria also. They've asked us to steward the information for them. And we said, you know, it's everything we can do with Libya. But we get reports from Syrians all the time. And the thing that there's a couple of points that everybody needs to know. The deep state is absolutely bound and determined to start a war. That's the only way they can maintain control of their financial system, because we could not change financial systems in a war. So they're trying to start a war so they can maintain control, because they're losing it. Another thing, Russia and the United States have big military bases in Syria about 600 yards apart. They almost throw a rock at each other.
Wow.
And, you know, this is not ever mentioned. The thing that Russia is doing is that they're very tempered in their response to the attacks in Syria. They're all illegal. U.S. is there illegally, never invited in. In fact, the freedom fighters, if you would, are manufactured mercenaries, just like what was in Libya. And Ansar al-Sharia, all these things were CIA, Mossad-trained mercenaries that they invaded Syria to take it over to get control of that huge gas reserve in the Golan Heights area of Syria. That's the largest natural gas reserve in the world. That's the pearl that they want. And when Trump pulled out, he said he was removing the troops, everybody, yay. He also pulled out 6,000 troops out of Afghanistan. Then Bolton stands up and says, we don't care what Trump says, we're going to bomb the hell out of Syria until we replace Assad. Then some good military, the ones that are behind Trump, they started removing equipment from Syria. You know, refueling equipment, support equipment for the aircraft and everything. So how is the U.S. going to maintain bombing operations if they can't fuel the plane? So that's a real good deal. The next thing, they were going to go in Afghanistan, and they were going to absolutely maintain control of Afghanistan. They put bombing sorties in place to bomb in Afghanistan, so Trump redirected them and had them bomb the Bush poppy fields. So here we go.
He's a pretty good
counterpuncher.
Whoa, stay right there.
Okay.
We know that heroin production has quadrupled since the war in Afghanistan, America's involvement. So a big part of this is heroin production. You're telling me that as the deep state tried to block withdrawal, Trump said, okay, we won't withdraw those missiles. We'll just shoot your poppy fields with them. Are you saying?
That's exactly what he did. He's a great counterpuncher. Well, you know, when you see Marines standing around poppy fields, protecting the poppy fields, that's a sickening sight. That's a heartbreaker for us. And so, you know, the counterpunch was, okay, we'll fire those rockets into Afghanistan and plowed down a whole bunch of poppy fields.
That is the best news I've heard all day, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, it's great. You know, he doesn't have that poor guy does not have a friend in Washington, D.C. You know, he has, it's everything he can do to move forward an inch, and it's Democrats and Republicans. But I'm telling you, the people, I think it was a New York Times survey of people about what they thought about the government closing down. That was USA Today. And they were querying Democrats. 3% blamed the Republicans. That was all. All Democrats, 3% blame the Republicans. So they're losing ground. So now we've got big deep state guys like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham. They're getting some religion, and now then they are being forced to support Trump because their constituents are awake.
There's the music. On the other side, we'll continue right there. This is extremely fascinating, and more with the Moriartys on the other side. What is the shutdown? Is there something deeper here? You know, what does the future look like? More of the Moriartys. LivingWarTheTruth.com. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Power Hour. So glad to be with you. Of course, the sales on Grown by Nature over the Power Mall, the cardio, nitric oxide, and the like, the North American Urban Spice, all on sale. I'll elaborate a little more the next hour, but 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829, thepowermall.com. That's how we're funded, so please check that out, and thank you so much. So much for your support. Getting back to the Moriartys, LivingWarTheTruth.com is their website. This shutdown, obviously, this is probably the biggest news, and every other day we have to hear Chuck Schumer. I guess he gets off the beach or something and puts a suit on and complains about the shutdown or whatever. I don't know. Whatever it is. Is this shutdown more than just the shutdown? Is this a strategic, maybe, slice against the bureaucracy? I mean, we're hearing rumors of that. What's your feelings about that?
I personally believe, and I think Jimmy and I are in agreement on this, is that this is a strike for the American person, the person who works every day, who doesn't have a big pension, who works on an hourly wage, who has to work on Christmas, who doesn't get days off for holidays all the time. There's millions and millions of Americans who suffer at these low pay rates. This is a strike for them and support of them, because the people coming in are going to take their jobs. They're going to take them at lower rates. They're going to cause these people a huge amount of distress. So I think Trump is standing up for those people. He's saying, no, we're going to support our people in America who work hard, who suffer every day because of all kinds of oppression, you know, that comes from this government against them, whether it be taxes or illegal aliens or whatever, you know. So I think it looks to me like a strike, really.
The non-essential nature of some of the, what is it, 800,000, almost a million in federal employees, the longer this goes, they're non-essential already. Is America going to start to say, well, non-essential may be not needed, and maybe we'll just cut some of that out?
There you go. Well, 800,000 to a million for sure. You know, the number of criminals in government, the ones that should be arrested and should be perp walked to the guillotine, is probably nearly 2 million. And the people in the United States need to see some retribution. We need to see these people pay for their crimes. And part of it is exposing them for who they are. And believe me, if everybody that has been watching the Democratic Party implode, their rhetoric and their dialogue and their craziness, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with we the people here in the United States. We're a great country, you know, we're very compassionate and everything, but, you know, to pass laws in California that says if you've got AIDS and you know you've got it and you pass it on to somebody else knowingly, that it's not a crime. What's wrong with that? That's not anything to do with the people of the United States. And so, you know, there's so many things wrong, but, you know, the problem starts in Washington, D.C. The evil empire is 10 square miles called Washington, D.C., and there's nothing that goes on in Washington, D.C. that benefits the people of the United States. And as Joanne said, you know, the John Q. Public, the guy that works hard for his job, and his jobs are replaced by illegal aliens, you know, somebody has to stand up for all the hardworking Americans that really have built this country. And so I think Trump is doing a very, very noble thing, and I think that if we all realize that and support him, when Trump goes and has a rally any place, he's got crowds, you know, hanging off the rafters. And the politicians, the deep state politicians, see that. They know that the people are awakened. Power Hour's done a great job of helping people learn and how to think and how to use their discernment to find out what the truth is. And so many things that just do not ring true, hell, they're probably not true. So
that's a good way to put it. I laugh what you just said, but the simplicity of what you just said is been manifest. Look, we've been suspicious of these things, or at least a big part of us have. Trump's candidacy, what we've seen, it's like we're not suspicious anymore. It's proven. It's obvious now. We know it. Suspect it.
Well, you know, the Judicial Watch is responsible for forcing California to take, the first lawsuit made them take 1.4 million dead people off their voting rolls that have been voting every election. And their second lawsuit, I think, is going to be another 1.6 million that they're going to have to remove. So they're going to make California remove about almost 3 million people from their voting rolls. Now,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, and what group of people? You know, Hillary won California by about 3 million votes. Who in their right mind from California would throw their vote away if the vote's already loaded? You know, we've said forever that we don't think they've been counting the votes for the last 50 or 60 years. First of all, they always put two candidates up. Neither one of them are worth throwing away. And then if you try to vote for the best one, the guy that goes in there is who the deep state has appointed or anointed, you know.
Well, James McKinney, he's been on. He's detailed that pretty good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go back and look up James McKinney interviews about the election, he's proven that. He's proven what the Moriartys are saying here. Yeah. Let's talk about the economy, but in maybe a little different sense. We've had Joseph Meyer on, who's talked about the future. The dollars, we know it, there will not be. There will possibly be $2, an international dollar, which will be gold-backed, and an intranational dollar, which will be more fiat, but that things are changing, that the face of the dollar is being rejected. We're hearing these rumors. From your perspective, the people you know in the Middle East, Libya, Syria, what have you, what is their perspective of the dollar right now?
They don't want the dollar. And it's not just Syria and Libya and Egypt. The Russians, the Chinese, the Mexicans, nobody wants the dollar anymore. It's not worth anything. The Federal Reserve, with the full support of the government of the United States, blackmails everybody to use dollars. And now then, Russia has its own wire transfer system, and they're actually doing a higher volume in their own system than they were doing inside the SWIFT, because a lot of the Eastern Bloc countries have stepped in and are using the Russian transfer system. The Chinese, through their AIIB bank, they also have a money transfer system. And so the SWIFT system, which was criminal to begin with, they could float your money for as long as they wanted. They could refuse to transfer. They could do all these things. That was just a game that the banksters played to control your money. Well, the SWIFT system is third down the list. All the money laundering happened through the SWIFT system. All the illegal payments happened through the SWIFT system. So, you know, where you could have complete control of the money and see who the bad guys are and stop their money movements, that was encouraged and promoted and executed through the SWIFT system. So people don't want the dollar anymore. And really, here in the United States, we don't want it either because it's not worth anything. It's worth 1% of what it was a little over 100 years ago, you know, and so our money's not worth anything. Look at the people in the United States that have no savings. Their credit cards are loaded up. And the inflated values of their houses and everything else, if the crash comes, which I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, you know, then what's everybody going to do? There's some real good analysis on what's going on, and there are three scenarios. One of them, they'll pump more phony money into the system, you know, like they've been doing. They'll have a QE on steroids that'll happen. Or the third option is that they will flow a whole bunch of money into the hands of the people, where it will be the immediately used and show the best good for everybody. And I think that's the best scenario. That, you know, people call it global currency reset and everything. They're now talking about that. And that's probably a cure that will work. Whether we can get control of the Federal Reserve and the banksters, get them thrown out, get their phony debt thrown out. Listen, the real debt that the United States has, and I'm talking about the off-balance sheet, but the contingent liability is in excess of $700 trillion. World debt is in excess of $1 quintillion to the banksters. Phony debt. So what we need to do is give them back their phony money and eliminate the phony debt. And these things that it's being exposed.
Well, a couple of scenarios that go with what we just talked about. We've got about a minute or so before the break. Who was the president before the 20s, the Roaring Twenties? Was it Coolidge or Hoover? I think it was Coolidge.
Yeah.
He cut half of federal employees. And then people talk about the Roaring Twenties and, oh, those evil people, you know, excess. The Roaring Twenties happened. America exploded economically because I think it was Coolidge. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. He cut half the federal workforce. Half. And the economy exploded. The Federal Reserve that was put in there to supposedly stop all these depressions, then they immediately started to suck all the money, all the currency out of circulation, and they really created the depression. They imploded. They caved it in. And that's why that was the result of that. Iceland, the banker said, well, you owe all this money, kind of like America, right? Well, you owe 100 trillion or 4 quadrillion or whatever. And Iceland said, well, prove it to us. And then they went through the books and said, well, wait a minute. Not only do we not owe you, we're going to chase you down and we're going to hunt you and arrest you. And Iceland was doing really well after they did that. So two periods. If we can get over this hump, ladies and gentlemen, what will happen? One more segment with the Moriartys. LivianWarTheTruth.com. LivianWarTheTruth.com. We're the Power Hour, thepowerhour.com. Stay tuned. Some people just seem to be at the middle of everything. And a couple of these people are on the phone here on the other line, the Moriartys, Jim and Joanne. Their email or their website, LivianWarTheTruth.com. You can get all kind of videos that they put, all kind of information, just a treasure trove of a connection of what really happened in Libya, the Arab Spring kind of connection, the five countries or seven countries in 5 years that America is supposedly trying to take out, what that means, the Secretary Clinton, Secretary of State, all her involvement, Benghazi. Please check out LibyanWarTheTruth.com. It's well worth it. Not only have you taken a notice to them, you supported them very much, and they've needed your support, and they deserve your support. Not need. We're not. These are not needy people. They deserve your support. I mean, and really, if anybody's needy, it's us. You need. We need. I need to support these people. And some other people took notice, mainly Robert Mueller took notice about you, Jim and Joanne. Tell us a little bit about the good old Bob's interest in you two.
Yeah, Daniel, October 3rd, this last year, 2018, at about 10:30 in the morning, we have a little gate, a little drive on this little old house we live in, and there's a doorbell up there. He rang the doorbell, so I went out and there was a local sheriff that we knew standing with another man. And when I got up there, he held up his FBI badge, and he said, "I'm Special Agent so-and-so on order of Special Counsel Robert Mueller to interrogate you and your husband. May I come in?" And so I went back down to the house, and Jimmy said, "Let him in." So they came in. We knew Wentworth, the sheriff that was with him. These guys, this FBI agent was armed, and he's the first one to ever come into our house armed. And I wouldn't have been comfortable had not I known the sheriff that was with him. Great big mountain of a man and real nice guy. So he said, "I'm here to question you about WikiLeaks, your connection, if you have a connection to WikiLeaks. Do you know Julian Assange?" And "I'm here to question you about Jerome Corsi, because we know Dr. Corsi very well. When he was working at WorldNet Daily, he wrote about 50 articles about Libya with information we provided him. A couple of those stories, with the information was read into the Congressional Record, actually, about Benghazi. And apparently they took his phone, and they have all the numbers in his phone, and we were in his phone. So here they come. And they wanted to know if Jerry Corsi ever told us that he knew WikiLeaks, that he knew Julian Assange. Did we know Roger Stone? A whole bunch of these stupid questions, really. But the FBI agent talked to Jimmy for about, he made us speak to him alone. And
let me tell you what, we've become schooled in what to do. So instead of him interrogating me, I gave him 3 hours of raw intel that was ours about what happened in Libya, how the U.S. was involved in it, all the criminality and everything. And then I demanded, after I'd given him 3 hours worth, I demanded that according to the contracts between all the intelligence agencies, that when he receives actionable intelligence that has to do with the safety of the United States, that he must share it with every other intelligence agency, including the President's office. And I said, "So I'm demanding that you do that. Because if you remember, we have copies of brand new passports that were issued out of Libya and out of Syria with the name and the photo of the people. They bring them into these 29 CIA training centers in Libya. They train them how to speak English. They give them a new Libyan name, a new Libyan passport. They send them to the United States. They're not Libyans, but they give them a new Libyan name. They send them to the United States. They receive a permanent green card, multiple entry visa. They're funded to the tune of $1 million to $4 million each. They're flowing into the United States at a rate of 1,000 to 4,000 a month, and have been doing that since October of 2011. We've alerted everybody. That is a clear and present danger. That are these paid mercenaries inside the United States. They're buying strip centers. They're buying used car lots, bringing in more of their kind, so that mercenary army is already here. We've been hollering about that forever. So we told the FBI guy that, and I told him, I said, to come into my home armed is an affront. And I said, we don't look at you as a friend. We look at you as a foe.
As an adversary.
So he got about 15 minutes of his interrogation. He had a sheet that he kept looking at, and I'd answer his questions. And he had to look back at the sheet, and I said, just hand me that damn piece of paper, and I'll give you the answer before I can do that.
What did he say to you, or what was the look on his face when you told him that you are demanded, you are required to share this now with even the President?
Oh, he was a deer in the headlights, you know, because we know the contract they have between them, but they have a big file on us, which he denied. He said, "I don't think I saw a file on you." Well, that's a lie. How did he know where we live?
Oh,
how did he show up? He also told us that, you know, yeah, this Russian investigation has nothing to do with Russia.
He told us that.
Interesting. What did he say it was about? What did he say it was about?
We're supposed to figure that out ourselves, I guess. But, we told him about a lot of the things they've done to us, the when they planted drugs in our car and stopped us. And he kind of looked down and he said, you know, there's a whole lot more of that goes on than I'd like to admit.
Mm-hmm. So you felt like even though he's a foe, which the corporate United States government, their interests are not your interests, ladies and gentlemen. They're not the American people's interests.
Oh, no.
You're starting to realize that.
No, they work for a corporation.
That's right. He at least seemed a little sympathetic maybe to you. Did you feel that?
Yeah, but he's impotent. He can't do anything. He does what he's told.
Right.
And we were to have our car fixed. We had a problem with our car, and we were going to have it fixed at a shop in Beaumont. We got a fixed price, and Jimmy will tell you, he's better with car stuff.
Yeah, it was. We had to have the headers replaced because they were, one of them broke, and we couldn't get the car inspected. And we made an arrangement, and I told him, he said, well, can you have this information when we talk to Corsi? And I said, yeah, we get it. And I said, but it's not going to be before Wednesday because my car goes in the shop Monday. And he said, oh, what for? And I said, exhaust headers. I said, it's a big job. So he said, oh, my wife needs that. Where'd you find it? I told him about this shop in Beaumont. When we got there, at the appointed time, we had to rent a car, drop the car off, and he said, well, it's going to be 3 days, you know. And I said, no. I said, I've got the car rented one day. I made an appointment. And he was going to keep it 3 days and then double the price, wanted it all paid up front. And so we took
what?
The car. We took, oh, yeah. And so 2 days later, I went back over there after I got the car fixed. And I said, okay, what's the deal? Spanish is my second language. And he said, look, he said, the migra, which is ICE, you know, the immigrants, migras, were in here and said that we're to keep your car, leave it outside for 3 days and charge you more money and everything. They planned to steal our car. They didn't say that, but why would they tell this guy to leave our car outside?
Oh, my God.
So is that,
ladies and gentlemen, this is such
I've got
stressful.
Kind of slang. That's chicken from the FBI guy. That's low.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. They're not your friends.
I'm a Texan. What can I tell you?
Yeah. Shiite Muslims. Chicken Shiite Muslims. That's what. We're about to be at the end of the segment. The music's about there's the music. What is the purpose of this army that's coming over here? These clandestine people who are settling in here.
So that
is it
they
for
can
a certain
take our
time?
Guns away from us, so they can take over this country from the inside.
Man, just an absolute pleasure, you two. We love you. We think the world of you. We pray for you. LibyanWarTheTruth.com. God bless you, too.
God bless you. Anytime.
Thank you, and thank all your listeners. We appreciate it.